Lord, there's just good music out there that just talks about who you are and where we are and how we can meet you. In all things, we are more than conquerors because you keep us in your love. And I love the fact that, Lord, no matter where we are, we're not too far from your grace. Whew. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, we're going to hear even more good news from the Apostle Paul in Romans this morning. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to sharpen our minds. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. We love you. And we want to make that known today. So, Father, please receive the worship that has already happened and the worship that will be continuing. Man, it's just a fragrant aroma to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for, what is that word? Thank you, thank you. Man, Pastor Dick, where are you when I'm writing papers? Thank you for indulging me. There's just some songs that just get you. And that was just one this morning that got me. It just felt good to kind of sit in that thought. So as you can imagine, I'm in Romans still. Always. No, not always, really. Cindy, I'm going to back this up. Is that okay? That's okay. I figured you just didn't want me to break your iPad. Just a thought. Let's go to Romans 8. Now, listen, because I indulge myself, I may have been a little too aggressive in all the scripture that I have for us this morning, but we're going to try to get through it as best we can without racing through at such a tempo. Can we kill one of these? Just one. Pick one. And I'll go to the... Thank you. Perfect. Now I can truly see you. So let's start at Romans 8, verse 1. Now we're going to go to 11, but don't be mad if we don't preach to 11. Right? Because that's not going to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Whew. Okay. Let's hear God's word this morning. More importantly, let's hear God's word to us this morning. Reading from the New American Standard. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as far as I'm concerned, we can just sit down right there. That is amazing news. But there's more. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is what?
Death.
But the mindset of the Spirit is what? Life and peace. I see a bit of an exchange there, I'd take. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh can't do what? However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, now, that's a lot of death, flesh, mind. It's Paul. What do you expect? It's just kind of the way he wrote. It feels redundant on some level, doesn't it? You can say yes, it's okay. Okay, so what's our first rule? What's the first word in most of your translations? So what does therefore mean? What's the rule? Look up. So if we sneak up to Romans 7, you find mostly where I live. Here Paul is saying, why in the world do I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do? Why is that? Right? So here is Paul lamenting, in my mind, his sin nature. So that's the therefore. So I was thinking about it. When you think of the Apostle Paul, and you think of him struggling with his sin nature, do you ever wonder if he, like, ever got hangry? Like, when you think, we hold Paul in such high regard. I'm sitting there going, you know what, Lord, what did he do? Give somebody the stink eye once or twice on a boat? Like, how is Paul, like Paul, how does the Apostle Paul sin? Seriously? Really? And yet, he was flesh just like me, just like you. And he struggled. And he had the courage to talk about that struggle. If you ever want to feel semi-okay, read Romans 7. But don't read it alone. Slide right into Romans 8. So that's what Paul's doing. Paul is, how is it that I have Christ in me, and I'm still doing things that I don't want to do? And the good things that I want to do, I never get around to it. Anybody been there? Whew, I know, that'll preach. It's true. It feels like welcome to the human condition if we are in Christ. It's the battle of the wills. Here's the really good news. Therefore, because of this mess in the end of 7, there is when. Now, today, there is now no condemnation. What does condemnation mean? Condemnation in the Greek here is an actual, it's an actual legal term. Very common for Paul to use legal terms. Justification, another legal term. It means to be condemned would be a verdict of guilt. And Paul says, even though I'm in this mess, in the bottom half, in the middle of chapter 7, I'm not declared guilty. Sorry, that makes me want to shout. Hold on. Woo! Sorry, just had to let that out or it was going to hurt. I am not declared guilty. Why? Because I am in Christ. That makes me want to shout again, but I'll spare you. Right? So, what the law couldn't do by being the good rule follower, Jennifer Chavez, that you are, Suzanne Alton, who has to follow all the rules. You can tell you're both educators. Follow the rules, follow the rules, follow the rules, all the rules you want to follow. You're still guilty. Isn't that amazing? It feels counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like if I follow the law, I shouldn't get in trouble. Right? If I'm not speeding, the state trooper on the side of the road doesn't bother me. I personally have never experienced that, but I believe that that's probably the case, right? You figure if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm following the law, if I'm doing all those things, No. What the law couldn't do, God did. What part of speech is that? When did he do it? It is finished. It's done. Those of us who are in Christ are now under no condemnation. The verdict is not guilty for us. And for some of us, that's more joyful than maybe for others. There may be some who have lived a really good, godly, holy life. I won't say that's me, but for some, but man, we are declared not guilty. What the law couldn't do for us, what religion can't do for you, what just being a member of this church or any church. See, this applies to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, at the risk of sounding weird, Houston, you have a problem. Because you're guilty before God. But Robin, I'm like a good person. If good was good enough, most of us could make it. It's not about good. Y'all, it's not about, it's not what we've done. It's what he's done that makes this whole thing work. No sickness, no secret, past, present, future is what? Covered by his blood. Ooh, girl, yeah, I'm a mess. There are a lot of messes out there. Some of us are messier than others. And I'm not talking about what your kitchen looks like right now. But in here, we're a mess. We've made choices. We've made decisions. We have regrets. All of that can be covered by his blood. And we can be pronounced not guilty. Not guilty. The law was powerless to do this. And I imagine for Paul's audience, at least the Jewish audience, that was a hard thing to hear. Can you imagine if you had kept all the rules? Man, during Passover, your dishes were never, and you always ate kosher. Maybe that's what Paul did. Maybe in one of Paul's travels, he came across some bacon. And he decided, I'm going to try this. And he liked it. Maybe that, no, just kidding. But no, seriously. They kept the law. It was how they connected with God. It was the order that he set up in the Old Testament. And now Paul's coming in and going, but Jesus, shift from that lamb to the lamb who was spotless, who was crucified once for all. That blood will cover sin like no blood of an earthly lamb. This must have been radical to them. Radical. Paul must have really upset the apple cart. You know? No, guys, we don't do it this way anymore. Really, dude? Like, you're potentially a Sadducee. You know this stuff. You know how we're supposed to behave, how to dress, how to clean, how to eat. No, it's okay. Grace covers it all. Man, that had to be a real mind bend. You can sort of get the struggle. A lot of times you'll read on in other New Testament books how the Jews wanted to go back to circumcision. Do you ever want to go back to what you know? All the time. I get it. But Paul's saying, no. What the law cannot do. The Spirit has done. God has done. Like God made a way in the Old Testament with the lamb and the altars and the sacrifices, He has now done completely in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has now done it completely in His Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, let me see, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay, when it says the requirements of the law, this, the law there and in this portion, it's an ordinance. It's a rule. And what Paul is saying there is, you've been acquitted of the law because you're in Christ. You don't have to be a rule follower. You now have to be a Christ follower. You don't have to be a tradition follower. You're now a Christ follower, because what He did, the law couldn't replicate. Now, I was thinking a lot about this, set your mind, set your mind, set your mind, set your mind, set your mind. And it talks about those of us, those in the flesh, we set our minds to things on the flesh. So I'm asking myself, what is the flesh? Well, I started making a list. And like 3 pages later, I decided, anything that's not from God. Let me just break it down, make it simple. When we follow the flesh, we follow the fleshly desires. And when we do that, we actually become hostile towards God. Now listen, y'all. I'm not so strongly suggesting that we ever take on the Napoleon complex, stick our hand in our shirt and look at God and say, bring it. See, because if we're going to be hostile with someone, I don't suggest it be God. He is the one who grants breath. Now, can God deal with my anger? Yeah, He and I have had some cranky conversations. He not cranky, me, yes. But there's a difference. When we follow the mind of the flesh, we are setting a hostility between us and God. And then we usually run to God very quickly and go, fix it, fix the mess. Fix the mess I created by following my flesh. The word hostility is actually the word for enmity. What does enmity mean? I'm glad you asked. Enmity is the state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. Now, if you're like me, most of us don't wake up and go, today I am going to be hostile towards God. Number one priority on my to-do list. Right? We don't do that. But do we start our day sending our mind towards the Spirit? Because where does the flesh lead? To death. Where does the Spirit lead? Life and peace. How many of us could use a little bit more life and peace? So the question then becomes, beloved, where are we setting our minds? What does it mean to set your mind? Well, you act like I'm the only one who knows. What does it mean to set your mind? Focus. There are educators in the room. Focus. Okay. If you go back to Daniel, chapter 1, maybe it's 2. And there's a little saying in there that caught my eye. And my youth pastor sort of banged it into me. It talked about that Daniel set his mind that he would not bow or defile his body. That was when eat the meats that were offered to idols, And for Daniel, he couldn't do that in clear conscience because of his love and obedience to God. And Daniel understood it could mean his head. Daniel made up his mind before he got into the situation how he was going to handle it. We have to make up our mind. We have got to set our minds on the Spirit. Because then we will handle situations with the mind of the Spirit. How do you know the mind of the Spirit? Get in the Word. Read it. Know it. Listen. Listen. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge. Don't make me get into the Trinity right now. Just don't. But the Holy Spirit is God. Knows everything. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. Where are you setting your minds? How are you setting your mind? What are you focusing on? What are you listening to? I was camping last weekend. In fact, just this morning when I brushed my teeth, I think I found the last bit of dirt. I pray. We were in Moab. And nobody told me that just because it's a desert mean there was wind and sand. So there was a lot of wind and sand, and we almost lost our tent, and I ate a lot of dirt. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting. But, you know, when you go camping and you're camping in a tent, you sort of set your mind to the fact that, you know, something's got to happen. Because you're in a tent, right? You don't ever expect tent camping to go smoothly. It just wouldn't be tent camping if it did, right? So you kind of go in with that mindset. What are we going into our day with? What mindsets? So while we were camping, we decided that we would find a song for every event that was happening. Now, at 54, I have quite a different range than some of the youngers that I was camping with, and they had a whole different set of songs I just choose not to listen to. So it made for some fascinating banter. But putting your mind on music certainly made the 2 inches of dust that covered my sleeping bag this much more tolerable. Right? It's amazing how we set our mind will. Look, there's a self-defense idea or theory that as the head goes, so does the body. Beloved, as the head goes, so does the mouth, so does the heart, so do the hands and feet. Where are we setting our minds? And here's the glorious thing. If we set at the wrong place, when we mess up, because we will, we don't live under should. Should is one of the most guilting words. Unless my mom is using it, and that just means move now. That's what it means when mom says it. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I should have. I should have. I should have. I should have. Now, therefore, we are under no condemnation. Now, does that mean we should just go on and sin? Absolutely. Just like the Apostle Paul says, may it never be. But please understand where sin abounds, grace abounds. Even more. So do we sin more so we get more grace? No. I get the logic. It's not a wise practice. Because why? Because sinning makes us hostile toward God. Did you ever think that your sin made you hostile towards God? Well, it broke his heart. I'm sure he's not pleased. Hostile. Sometimes, particularly when you're around Christians, it's incredibly easy to sin. They know what I mean. Particularly with your mouth. We're actually gossiping under the guise of prayer requests. Don't tell anyone. But did you know? And then we end it with, so be praying. That's how we cover it, right? That's how we do it in church. Yeah. Did we ever think? I honestly didn't. I thought I just sinned, I sinned. But my sin makes me hostile towards God. And I don't want to be hostile towards God. The Spirit dwells in us. How are we setting our minds? What are we setting our minds on? Because it affects our attitude directly. Right now, I want us to set our minds on this table. There's an old hymn that my family used to sing in the car in sometimes four, but sometimes three-part harmony. And it was called, Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This morning, as we take communion, I want you to take a second and think about that. I want you to not just do the first of the month communion thing. Man, I want you to sit for a second. And even as we're singing, and remember, Jesus paid it all. Past, present, and future. All to him we owe. Where are we setting our minds? Without it, sin had left a crimson stain. It's a mess. But Jesus comes in and he cleans it all. Remember, you're not under condemnation because of what happens and what we're celebrating right here. If you are in Christ, this table is open to you. You do not need to be a member of this church. It's matzah, so it's gluten-free for those who have those concerns. You're welcome to the table. But I want you to think just a little bit more about what this purchased for us. No shoulds. Not guilty. Man, not guilty. It's not a hung jury. Nobody's been bribed. Not guilty. And I know better. Jesus said, I'm not guilty. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood poured for you. Each time you do this, remember me. Remember him and what this blood means.
Jesus also took the bread, and he broke it as he would be broken. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this, eat this, in remembrance of me. We have two sacraments in our church, baptism and communion. So please approach this table with that in mind, that this is a sacrament. It is an offering given back to the Lord.
Come and receive a reminder of all that Jesus has done for you.